Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
What we have to hold is more silver and gold. When I walk with you, when I talk with you, everything will be fine.
Last month, former Beatle Ringo Starr released Why Not, his 15th album in a solo career that spans four decades. But despite Ringo's example, a drummer with dreams of the spotlight still sounds to many like the setup of a bad joke. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today on the show, we'll debate the place of the drummer in pop music. And later, hip-hop child prodigy Priscilla Starr Diaz is the subject of a new documentary by director Gabriel Noble. Diaz and Noble join us to talk about the film. But to begin, the drum world does not lack for superstars. Dave Grohl of the Foo Fighters and Nirvana, Questlove from The Roots, Neil Peart of Rush are all successful band leaders and songwriters. But many other drummers are like those offensive linemen in the NFL. You only hear their names when they do something wrong, which they occasionally do. As a result, drummers have a reputation for being simple-minded, misanthropic show-offs. So what is the drummer's role? Is it in your face or stay in their place? It's a question for this week's
Soundcheck Smackdown.
And joining us to defend the in-your-face, notice-me-now school of drumming is Janet Weiss, former drummer of Sleater-Kinney and currently with Quasi and with Stephen Malkmus and the Jicks. She joins us on the phone from Portland. And ready to take the limelight hogs down a peg is Will Lehman, jazz critic at PopMatters.com and a contributor to NPR. He's on the line from Washington, D.C. Janet and Will, the both of you, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Will, I'm going to start with you. You heard our question, the drummer's role. In your face or stay in their place? What do you think?
Well, I guess...
Wait, I'm asking Will. I know
camp,
what you're going to say, Janet.
I definitely think we need to be in your face from our place. I have not made a solo record. I'm not up there lead singing. But I think as far as drummers go... Pretty darn necessary for rock and roll.
Will?
Well, you know, as with so many things in rock and roll, Spinal Tap gets the last word on this, and maybe the first word in this case. You know, all those drummers, so many of them spontaneously combusting right on the throne, all kind of interchangeable. I think drummers are super important to rock music, to all American music, but I think they're sort of like movie directors. The flashier they get, the more they call attention to themselves, the more kind of pretentious and terrible the product tends to be.
So that
I can definitely argue for the other side.
Go for it, Janet.
I think let's say Keith Moon, for example, probably the most flashy of all drummers. I think that band, The Who, as you might have witnessed on the Super Bowl on Sunday, is absolutely terrible without Keith Moon. You've got the songwriter there, you've got the lead singer there, but that band stinks without Keith Moon. They always have, ever since he died. They should have broken up. He made the band, his parts made the band, his flamboyancy made the band interesting and exciting, and I think that completely... tears down your argument.
Well, you know, John, when I was a kid, you would always hear this thing like, man, the Beatles are great, but imagine how great they would be if, like, John Bonham were their drummer. And I think the answer to that is like, terrible.
Yeah, but Ringo Starr is one of these drummers you're talking about. He has tons of character. He's not just chopping wood. He played the toms more than any other drummer. He's writing parts that are melodic. To be honest, Paul McCartney probably plays the drums on half of those recordings, but Ringo Starr is a flamboyant drummer in his own right. He's not just chopping wood, you know, boom chuck, boom chuck, boom chuck. So I don't know.
Will,
if that totally makes sense.
Will, it sounds like you're drawing a distinction between the Ringo Starr style of drumming and Keith Moon. What would that distinction be?
Well, I mean, Keith was not just loud. I mean, it's not a question of being loud or soft, but I think he was flamboyant in a way that Ringo wasn't. Ringo was, I think Ringo got a bad rap in a lot of ways. I think he did play melodically, but he wasn't the kind of drummer who I think ruins rock bands. You know, I think a guy like Neil Peart ruins a rock band. I mean, I'm not a Rush fan to begin with, but I think, you know, a guy who has to be sort of lowered by a crane into his drum kit because he can't get enough cymbals, you know, it's just too much, you know.
The thing about Neil Peart, though, is he wrote those songs. Those were his songs. How could he ruin the band when he was writing the songs?
Well, maybe it wasn't a question of, like, ruining the songs as much as the fact that, like, they were those are songs to me that, you know, they come from a guy who wants to show off. They're show-offy songs. They're not subtle. They're not interesting. Any Motown song over any Rush song. I'd take the worst Motown song. I put it up against the best Rush sound in some sort of smackdown, and I promise you the public would come my way.
All right, the smacking has begun fast and furious this week. Janet Weiss with us, the drummer from among other bands, Stephen Malkmus and the Jicks and Quasi, and before that Slater Kinney, and Will Lehman, the jazz critic for PopMatters.com, NPR contributor, and we asked each of them to list a few of their favorites. Now, Janet, you've already mentioned Keith Moon. We'll start this little crossfade with him, and then two others who I think will be familiar immediately to all rock fans.
Change it had to come. We knew it all along. We were liberated from the bullet song. And the world looks just the same. If history ain't changed, cause the banners, they all flown in the last war. I'll tip my hat to the new constitution. Thank God.
Okay, in order, The Who, featuring drummer Keith Moon, Led Zeppelin, John Bonham. Actually, that was a fairly restrained John Bonham in that song, When the Levee Breaks. And then Jimi Hendrix Experience with Mitch Mitchell behind the kit. So Janet Weiss picked those three. Will, do you think that Keith Moon ruined The Who by being a flamboyant, in-your-face kind of drummer?
Well, I don't. Sometimes the exceptions prove the rule. And I think Keith, I agree with Janet on Keith. I think he's fantastic. I mean, anybody who listens to, you know, Won't Get Fooled Again is just waiting for those kind of brilliant drum breaks coming out of that keyboard thing. And it's the most exciting part of the song, maybe except for the scream. And I think in other styles, I think a guy like Chester Thompson, who played with Frank Zappa, Zappa's music kind of required that kind of chopperific, exciting drumming, and that's a guy, one of several, who delivered it. Or in jazz, you know, a drummer like Elvin Jones, who was a brilliant polyrhythmic player and sort of stood up to John Coltrane in that great quartet, you know, might have overwhelmed a lot of other bands, but sometimes it's critical. I think in most bands, just as with most movies, as I was making that analogy before, I don't think you want to see all the jump cuts and be aware of all the tricky film school business. I think you want to tell a great story.
All right, now, when we asked you for your favorite drummers, you gave us three names that people might have great difficulty identifying. Let's start with the Ronettes.
Thank you.
we heard just two of Will's three faves, beginning with the Ronettes. The drummer was Hal Blaine, and then Ritchie Valens, Earl Palmer is the drummer. And here's the third from Steely Dan. The drummer is Bernard Purdy. All right, so Hal Blaine, Earl Palmer, Bernard Purdy. Will, you're willing to match them up against Janet's powerhouse lineup of Keith Moon, John Bonham, and Mitch Mitchell?
Well, you know, to me, you know, Blaine and Palmer were classic studio guys from that era. I know it makes me sound real old to have chosen those particular tracks, but I
almost picked Hal Blaine myself.
There you go. I mean, to me, what those guys did, and Purdy is a slightly more contemporary version of the same thing, is those were guys who just made the track with not just the chops or the speed of their playing or the flashiness of their playing, but with the groove that they would create and the way they could mold to all different kinds of styles. So Purdy could play with like a blues guy, he could play with a jazz group, he could play with, you know, the slick sort of, you know, kind of pop stylings in the 70s. And I'm not sure you ever picked them out, but they were consummate creators of the groove.
Janet,
I disagree at least Bernard Purdy and I would say Hal Blaine are very in your face drummers. Bernard Purdy has solo records with pictures of him on the front. Pretty Purdy, and you know, he's like a drum superstar. He has a distinct sound. You turn the record on, you know it's him. It's like his snare drum sounds a certain way. He's not just blending into the background. He's doing his Purdy thing. There's people who imitate him, and he sets standards. And Hal Blaine, I just think he was able to write great drum parts with every band he sat down with, but he's not necessarily just in the background. Even on those Phil Spector recordings, he's very, very creative and writing things that are sticking out. And you're hearing these triplet fills in the chorus, and you're hearing these rolls into the chorus, and you know it's not just blending in.
Janet,
so I think even your examples are these drummers who stand out and who
What about the Ritchie Valens? I mean, if someone asked you to do a version of Donna, would you go all Bonham on that?
No, of course not. It's just not possible. I mean, you have to listen to the song. I think the best drummers are in the best bands. The best drummers are the ones who know how to write drum parts that go with the music. You know, Bonham just happened to be playing in a blues rock band in the late 60s. That was his, you know, I have no doubt he could have played any of the songs, you know, that we just listened to.
Really?
I think maybe we're talking about two different things here, one being a good drummer and one being a bad drummer.
Yeah, well, we can talk about that as well.
I think you just don't like bad drummers, and I don't like bad guitar players, and I don't like bad sax players, and I don't like bad bass players, so...
Let's see what some of our Soundcheck listeners think. You've heard our Soundcheck Smackdown question. What's the drummer's role? Is it in your face or stay in their place? You can call us at 212-433-WNYC. That's 433-9692. Or leave a comment on the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org, where the comments have already begun to come in. And so we will... electronically amble into the control room where producer Joel Meyer is monitoring said comments. Joel?
John, our listener Jeffrey from the Upper West Side takes issue with our SmackDown today. He writes, are you suggesting that lead singers and guitarists aren't over-the-top egoists? But
touché.
I was about to bring that up. Why don't the drummers get to show off? The guitar players are showing off. The singers constantly showing off.
Well,
why
Janet,
do they get to show off?
Janet, here's why. Pete and Brett both make good points. Pete says, in my experience, drummers are a very lovable bunch, but kind of off in another world, constantly slapping their fingers on things, saying, huh, or what, when they're snapped back to reality. Brett from Williamsburg goes a little bit further and says, never, never let the drummer have any creative control beyond the drum kit. And finally, JB from Manhattan has a contribution to the comedy subgenre known as drummer jokes. So, Janet, I'll need your participation on this one. What happened when the bass player locked the keys in the van?
I don't know. What happened?
It took all day to get the drummer out.
Hey-o!
That's not that funny.
Janet, man, you are getting smacked to pieces here by our listeners, not even by Will.
You know, John, I was just so happy that you were able to find a drummer for the show who has the power of speech.
All right, now, Will, now you are really, really asking for it. I'm going to give Janet a minute to collect her thoughts, and we'll go to the break, actually, with a little bit of music from The Bad Plus, a band that is really, their sound really driven by their drummer, Dave King. In a moment, as our soundcheck smackdown continues, you know, those Spinal Tap drummers were known to spontaneously explode in performance. We'll look at some of the more realistic challenges that drummers face in the world of pop music. And later, the remarkable journey of 1 9-year-old rapper as told in a new documentary film called P-Star Rising. Stay with us. I'ma show you how I do it, said it can't be done. I'ma show you how I do it, said it can't be done. I'ma show you how I do it, said it can't be done. Show you how I do it.
Check out today's Soundcheck blog.
In old Rolling Stone concerts, all hell might break loose on stage. Mick strutting and threatening to lose his pants. Keith trying to simultaneously smoke and play and pump blood through his veins. But there at the center would be Charlie with a wry smile and steady no-frills drumming. Just what the band needed.
For the rest of the story, visit the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org.
Soundcheck, I'm John Schaefer. In the early 80s, the first programmable drum machines started showing up in pop songs, like this one by the Human League. Many professional drummers panicked, fearing the new gizmos would put them out of work. 30 years later, human drummers are not yet extinct, but they are under constant pressure to prove their worth. We're talking today on our Soundcheck Smackdown about the place of the drummer in bands. And with us on the phone are Janet Weiss, drummer with the with Quasi and Stephen Malkmus and the Jicks, and formerly of the landmark band Sleater-Kinney, and Will Lehman, who probably wouldn't know which end of the drumstick to hold, but who has the temerity to engage in a smackdown with Janet Weiss, the jazz critic for PopMatters.com, with us on the line as well. And, you know, Will, we had that listener suggesting before, you know, why are we talking about drummers instead of singers and electric guitarists who really do go sort of over the top? Are we talking about an image problem for drummers?
Well, I
and do you know which end of the drumstick to hold?
Well, it depends on what sound you want to make, right, Janet?
I can't believe you're a jazz critic. But we're talking about rock and roll here.
Well, I listen to all kinds of music, Janet. You know, you want to ghetto the jazz guys out on the edge.
I'm just trying to smack back a little bit.
I think the answer to your question, John, it lies in the fact that, you know, even though drummers are really the heart of bands, any kind of American music, whether it's jazz or blues, rock and roll, funk, whatever, but, you know, I think they aren't. I think the joke of a long, boring drum solo comes from the fact that the typical listener really isn't going to go in for a long, even a brilliant drum solo where the drummer's kind of, you know, subdividing the beat and doing all sorts of wonderful stuff, because people really like melody, you know, and the best drummers, of course, do play melody, but it's pretty abstract. So, you know, they'll listen to Aretha Franklin, you know, riff and go crazy and depart from the melody, or even a much less good singer than that. They'll listen to a guitar player who overindulges and plays fast and loud and high because they're kind of going with that. I think a drummer goes off a little too much, gets a little too fancy, and at least in this blues-based music, people don't want to really listen to it. Emerson, Lake, and Palmer was popular in the 1970s for reasons that can only be explained by a small handful of experts.
Or the easy access to pharmaceuticals.
I completely agree that bad drummers make bad music. But let's talk about good drummers who are flamboyant, good drummers who I think that maybe you're just a little bit jealous of our power and what we're capable of, and that without us, a band can just stink.
It's true.
You know, with a boring drummer, a band is so boring. And, I mean, you did play Steely Dan. You know, I mean, I think that's a great drummer for a pretty boring band. And
what about,
you know,
R.E.M.?
Oh, I love R.E.M. Great drummer. Fantastic.
And what happened? What happened to R.E.M. when Bill Berry got sick and quit the band?
They went downhill long before that.
So even while he was with them, then, you think?
I mean, it's not. In that case, I can't say either way. I think a great drummer is going to make a band a lot better, and a lot of times that involves flamboyancy, and a lot of times it doesn't. I brought up Mo Tucker as one of my favorite drummers, very restrained, but perfect, perfectly restrained, and still loaded with character. I guess what I just get tired of people trying to take the character away from the drummer. Why does the guitar player get to have character and the bass player gets to have character? Well, the bass player usually doesn't have that much character, but the singer gets to have character.
SmackDown, John.
That'll be next Tuesday. Janet can come back and defend herself.
People make fun of the drummers, and we make fun of the bass players. All right, bass players make fun of the keyboard players.
And let's see who and everybody makes fun of the viola players and the banjo players and the accordion. There's a whole hierarchy, but let's see what some of our Soundcheck listeners on the phone have to say. Ari's joining us from right here in New York. Ari, do you like a drummer who stands out or one who blends in? Ari?
Hello?
Yeah,
hello?
Hi, Ari.
Hello?
Do you like a drummer who stands out or blends in?
Oh, absolutely stands out. I mean, the purpose of a drummer is the drummer has a mandate to contribute to the music, just like any other instrument.
You got an example for us?
Drumming is the only instrument that expresses itself as physically as possible. It's a very physical medium. And so there are aspects of, you know, expression that are, you know, far beyond, you know, just with your fingers. With all due respect to guitars.
Uh-huh. Are you a drummer yourself? Ari?
Yes.
You are. Okay. And do you want to suggest a drummer to us that you would hold up as a model? Maybe someone
I'm
other
so
than
glad
yourself?
You asked. Yes, of course. Stuart Copeland is, you know, a drummer who, you know, every measure is just filled with things that push the music forward. Neil Peart from Rush. I mean, mm-hmm. You don't have to be a Rush fan to appreciate a guy who can just play the hell out of a drum kit.
Although, as Will Lehman said before, the idea of needing, you know, what did you say, Will? A forklift to lower him behind his drum?
They would lower him in with a crane. I mean, come on, man. Buddy Rich only needed like three toms and cymbals.
All right. But Stuart Copeland, late of the Police, and lots of interesting world music and film score work, an interesting example. It's been a long time since my brother Jerry from Queens, joined us on the line, but he's back. Jerry, you like a drummer who blends in or one who stands out?
Hi, John. How you doing?
I'm okay. Good. You sound like you're calling from a cave or a tunnel or something.
I'm calling from my car as I'm driving around in Queens.
Okay. Drive carefully, Jerry. So you got a drummer for us?
Well, how about the horrible song 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover by Paul Simon?
Yeah.
Although it has a great drummer on it, Stephen Gadd.
So you think... the good drummer does not help the bad song. Is that your point?
Most cases, a great drummer does nothing, because you can take a band like the Rolling Stones and you can replace Charlie Watts and Bill Wyman, but you can't replace Mick Jagger or Keith Richards.
Ooh, all right, fighting words. Janet?
You cannot replace Charlie Watts. Charlie Watts has not been replaced. When has he been replaced? He's never been replaced. He's unreplaceable. It would sound very different and feel very different. It's more than anything else. You can't take away Charlie Watts. I'm offended.
Will, do you consider Charlie Watts to be irreplaceable or interchangeable?
Well, you know, here's the thing. I think what Charlie Watts does for the Stones is a wonderful, subtle thing. So I think he might sound very replaceable to most people, and I think that's a compliment to him, though, because he's not a sore thumb with them. He's not flamboyant. He creates the feel. I think that's the highest compliment to a drummer. I think that, you know, what Janet said a moment again about Mo Tucker. You know, she sounded sort of like a primitive drummer to a lot of people, but what she gave the band was just right. It was perfect. Could Mo Tucker have replaced Neil Peart and Rush? I'm sure she couldn't have and wouldn't have wanted to, but she was great. But I think that more often than not, I think the drummers like Charlie Watts, who are really, really artistic and subtle, are, you know, they tend not to be offenders on the kind of too many chops, call too much attention to yourself scale. And my criticism isn't with good drummers, obviously. My criticism is with the ones who are sort of flamboyantly good. You know, I feel the same way about guitar players, frankly. You know, I wouldn't buy a Steve Vai album on a bet. But, you know, he's a great player, I guess, if you like that kind of thing. Too much for me.
Will Lehman's on the line with us. Janet Weiss is on the line with us. And lots of comments coming in on the Soundcheck page. Into the control room we go, and Joel Meyer with some of those comments. Joel?
John, we're getting lots of favorite drummers named dropped on the Soundcheck page. One that's been posted, Bunny Carlos of Cheap Trick. John, in your blog post, you mentioned that Keith Richards perfected the art of smoking and playing at the same time. Bunny Carlos did a pretty good job of smoking and drumming at the same time. Other names include Ginger Baker of Cream, Al Jackson of Booker T and the MGs, Mo Tucker of the Velvet Underground, and even our guest Janet Weiss. John from Greenpoint posts this comment: as the best living drummer, Janet knows exactly what she's talking about. Listen to the drum opening of the song One Beat by Slater Kinney and tell me it doesn't make that song.
That's a good call from John in Greenpoint there. Janet, Slater Kinney is in the past. You're playing with a couple of other bands now. Does your drumming style change with the band, with the song? I mean, is it one style fits all or no?
It definitely changes with the band and with the song and with the part, you know, with the chorus, with the verse. I definitely am trying to put the right part over the right part. I'm not trying to take away the spotlight from anyone, but I would say when I play live, I am definitely an equal member of the band. I am showing off a little bit back there. I'm showing what I can do, and I'm, you know, trying to sort of lift the experience of seeing a band live into a level of excitement. I'm not into bands that stand around and stare at their shoes and play their chops and stay in their place and are, you know, very passive. I'm just not into that. Like, I want to see people who are alive and who are up there for a reason and who are showing you and trying to engage the audience and in their music.
Will Lehman, you got a problem with that?
No, I'm becoming a Janet Weiss fan with every minute of this program as it passes.
Well, good, because we have one more from her to wrap up. This is Janet playing with Stephen Malkmus and the Jicks, and we have been talking about the place of the drummer in pop music with Janet Weiss and with jazz critic Will Lehman. Janet, Will, this has been very entertaining. Thanks, guys, for smacking each other around for our delectation this Tuesday.
You're welcome, John.
That was fun.
And still to come, from rock drumming to another rhythm-based art form, the hip-hop journey of a young rapper named P-Star coming up next.
to creep with sex vibes for miles and shark eyes asleep.